All right, brethren, good morning. Let's turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In John 8, in verse 30, we read, "As the Lord spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you that you've brought us here. Thank you that you've given us a desire to hear your word preached, faith to believe on your Son. We ask you, Lord, that you would be with those that aren't with us this morning, those that are sick, those that are in other spiritual troubles. Lord, we ask you would give faith, and we ask that you would sustain faith and increase faith. Keep us, Lord. I ask now that you'd be exalted, that you'd teach us here and speak into our hearts and make us truly hear you. Make us worship you, Lord. Lord, clear our minds, clear our thoughts of everything, and make us truly enter in to the liberty we have in Christ, safety we have in him. Lord, thank you for forgiveness of sins. We thank you that you're holy, that you hallow your name and your people and amongst your people. Keep us from the evil, Lord. Keep us from the evil. Keep us hedged about. We ask these things according to your will. We ask them in Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord says here, it says when he spake, many believed on him. And we know, as we read further in the chapter, some did not believe. But we take this to mean some did believe. But I know this, what our Lord says here is truth. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now Christ is the truth. He didn't say you shall know a truth or you'll know some truth. He said you shall know the truth. And Christ is the truth. He's the truth. He said you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And at verse 36, he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He's the truth. He said in John 14, in verse 6, our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Christ spoke his word. It's by his word that he makes us free. He spoke his word. As he was preaching there, and he spoke the word, and he makes free by the word. He births us again by the word. Creates a life we didn't have before, a new nature we didn't have before. And when he does this, he draws you to cast it all on him. He makes you his disciple, his pupil. You're learning of him. And he makes you cast it all on him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. And he makes us free by his spirit, by his righteousness. And as his disciples, he continues to grow us in knowledge by him teaching, and in grace. And so he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now, I've heard this preached on, and make this be all dependent on the believer, and on him, on his faith. Well, our Lord here is not saying that perseverance in faith is what's going to make us his disciples. It's not our perseverance in faith that's going to make us his disciple. Not even what's going to make us free. It's the result of Christ making us his disciple. It's the result of Christ making us free that we shall continue as his disciples. Those born of God and given faith to believe on Christ are made disciples indeed. And they're going to be kept by faith, kept in faith by God. And so they'll continue. They don't just begin in the faith. We continue in the faith, and we're going to end in the faith by him. Now, I want to look at this in three ways. First of all, Christ makes us hear his word. We must hear him. We must begin. There must be a beginning here. Christ spoke his word, and he made his word effectual. He makes it effectual in the heart. He must make us hear him so that we're born again. That's the only way we can be freed from our sin nature, because we're in bondage and we can't believe. We can't receive the word. We can't believe till he makes you hear and gives you life by that incorruptible seed, the word which is preached. And he makes you then, by giving you life and giving you faith, he makes you free to believe him, free to come to him, free to cast it all on him. Look over at Hebrews 11:6, and this gives us a good definition of what faith is and what faith believes right here. Hebrews 11:6. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Those that are in the flesh cannot please him. When he gives you spiritual life and he gives you faith, that's the only way to please him. And here's why it's pleasing right here. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is, the word could be the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now you think about that. When he gives you faith to believe him, that's what's pleasing to him, because he's giving his son the preeminence. He's giving his son all the glory. And that's what pleases God. It pleased God that his son have all the preeminence, that all fullness be in his son, dwell in his son. And so look at what it is. We must believe that he is. And this is what faith does. Faith believes. Being born again of him and taught of him, we believe Christ is the Son of God. We believe he is the Son of God. He is who he says he is in his word. He is the Son of God. He's the Son of God, our Father. And believing on him, we believe on the Father. And faith believes he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is what this freedom he's talking about is all about right here. Coming to him, we believe he's the rewarder. He's the one that gives freely to us. Christ is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. What does he give? This word reward doesn't mean you earned it. It means he gives it through faith. What does he give? What does he, those that come to him, no price in your hand, nothing to commend you, you come a sinner, what does he give you? He frees us from the curse and condemnation of the law, giving us his righteousness, giving us free justification in and by him, through his blood. This is what this freedom is. He that is dead, Paul said in Romans 6, is freed from sin. That word freed means justified. Justified from sin. Past, present, and future. God has given you, coming to Christ, believing he is the Son of God. He is salvation. He is all to us. He gives you all. He rewards his people. He gives his people righteousness. His righteousness. Made the righteousness of God in him. And he's the one who gave us the freedom in our sin nature, or not in our sin nature, but give us the freedom by giving us a new nature to come to him. He gave us life. He gave us life. But in that new man, when you come to him, he gives you freedom from a guilty conscience. When he makes you see him and makes you see your sin, the conscience is heavy by knowing your sin, by knowing what you are, by knowing you can't come to God yourself. And you might try to resolve in yourself that you're going to please Him, that you're going to try to do some things to please God, and you can't find any peace there either. You might resolve you're going to do something to make yourself presentable to Christ before you believe on Him. You can't find any peace there either. Finally, He just brings you to a place where you cannot find any peace in your heart, in your conscience. You can't. And where does He draw you? He draws you to Him. And the blood of Christ, making you see His blood has put away our sin forever. His blood purges the conscience of His child from dead works. All the things we were doing, the sin we loved, He makes you hate it. You know, right now, as a believer, there's a lot of sin we do that we don't know about. But every sin we know about that we commit it willfully. But you can't love it. Even while you're doing it, God will not let you have peace in your conscience. If you're thinking it, if you're speaking it, if you're doing it, either in the midst of it or shortly thereafter, He's going to make you know this is against Him. And I'll tell you something else about this purged conscience and this willingness to want to please Him. It's not the fear of hell that does this. I think that our Lord, before this text, our Lord said, if you don't believe on Me, you'll die in your sins. And I believe that many of them that believed on Him, that really truly did not believe on Him, they only did it because they thought, I don't want to die in my sins. Well, no believer wants to die in our sins, but that's not what makes you come to Him. Hell and a fear of hell is not what makes you believe on Him and not what makes you want to honor Him. That's not what does it. In fact, if there wasn't a hell, His people still want to honor Him because of Him. But when He's purged that conscience, this is the only peace we have. And He gives you that freedom from guilt. He's the giver of faith to walk by faith in Christ. He not only gives you faith in the first hour, He sustains it so that you walk by faith in Him. He keeps showing you when we try to lean on the arm of the flesh or lean on our wisdom, He keeps showing you, look to Him. And He gives that to you. He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The just shall live by faith. The just shall walk by faith. Would we do that if it wasn't for Him? No. He doesn't just wind you up like a clock and set you going. He's going to keep you walking by faith, trusting Him. He's the one, when He said there, He said, if you know Him and you believe on Him and you continue in His word, the truth shall make you free. He's going to keep you free. He's going to keep you free in Him, by Him. By what He's giving, He's going to keep us free in Him, walking in Him, in His liberty. And if we turn to sin, He's going to freely give us His chastening hand. And that's a blessing. And He's going to keep you turned to Him, keep you walking in faith. And because He's the giver of access to His throne of grace. He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, giving you access to His throne of grace in Christ our High Priest through His blood, where you can come with some assurance that He'll receive you and He's going to give you the help you need throughout this walk. And He gives you safety. He gives you that peace of knowing you have safety in Him. You come to Him knowing He is. He's the Son of God. He is all. And He's the rewarder. He's the giver of everything I need. He gives you a safety. He gives you peace from that fear of death and that fear of falling away. He gives you a peace of safety. Safety. He said, he must come to him believing he is. And the Christ said, this is what it is to do truth. He that doeth truth, he comes to the truth. He that doeth truth comes to Christ the light. Why? That it may be manifest that all his works are wrought in God. He come confessing he is the one who worked it all, and he's the one who rewarded it all to me freely. That's what the Old Testament saints said, Isaiah 26:12. The Lord, our Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought all our works in us. This is the believer's liberty. This is our freedom. It's Christ himself. Christ himself. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He makes us know he's the truth. We know Christ. You know the belief. You know the Redeemer. You know God knowing his Son. You know the truth. And the truth has made you free. Well, the result of being made free by Christ, secondly, is, and this is what he said there in our text, is you're going to continue as his disciple. You're going to continue. You're going to continue to the end. Being made a true disciple by Christ, we're going to continue believing in Christ, going to continue in his word, and we're going to continue to the end. Colossians 1, let's go there. Colossians chapter 1. I want to show you later. I thought I was going to get further in our text, but I'm going to show you later. All these things that our Lord is saying he frees us from, we see them brought out in his exchange between those Jews that did not believe and what our Lord taught them. And what he said about Abraham, what he said about them, we see the things he frees us from, all these things. And we'll look at those later. Today we're kind of seeing how we persevere. How do we continue in this faith? It's by him. But those that he's made his true disciple, we shall continue to the end. He says in Colossians 1:21, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. He did it. He brought you into unity and communion and with God. He did it in the body of his flesh through death to present you, this was the purpose, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, from Christ, our hope. Don't be moved away from Christ. The Lord said, this is how the proof is going to be you're my disciple. You're going to continue in my word. You're going to continue in the hope of the gospel, grounded and settled, knowing there's no other hope but Christ, which you've heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Christ is going to make us willing to never stop coming to Christ. Once he's made you come to him, made you willing to come to him, you never stop coming to him. Don't you want to hear his word? Don't you want to go to his throne of grace? Isn't that the peaceful time for you to go hear him speak, read his word, and go to him in prayer? He keeps you coming to him. And that's how he says it's manifest you're my disciples indeed. It doesn't make us Christ's disciples. Perseverance is the evidence he's made you his disciple. Look back at Hebrews 3. I'm going to come back to Hebrews 11 at the end, but I want you to see here Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, verse 5. Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we? The house is his people. Whose house are we? Here's how it's going to be made manifest. We're really his abode. He abides in us. His word abides in us, making us abide in him. Here's how it's going to be made manifest. He says, if we continue, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. He's our confidence and he's our rejoicing. You don't ever lose those two things. He's all our confidence. If a man ever loses confidence that Christ is saving him, has saved him, is saving and shall save him, he'll fall away. He can prove he never was his disciple to begin with. But if all your confidence is Christ, you will continue trusting him. And also, he has to be our rejoicing. And this will be so if we're really his disciple. A man, that if it becomes drudgery to you to worship Christ and to walk honorably before him, and you feel like you're missing out on something, that there's more for you out in the world, that the world has more to offer, and you stop rejoicing in Christ, in this hope, firm unto the end, that'll make a man fall away and prove he never had confidence in Christ and never rejoiced in the hope of Christ at all. But you that have your confidence in him, you'll continue firm to the end. You that rejoice in the hope, you'll hold fast firm to the end. This is because of the unction. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. He's given you that unction. This is Christ in you. It's the Spirit of Christ in you. And this is what's going to keep you right here. 1 John 2:18. Little children, that's what we all are. Little children, it is the last time. As you've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it's the last time. In our text, the Lord was dealing with some Antichrists. They're going to totally reject Christ in the next few verses of our text. We'll see that another time, but they're going to reject him. They're anti-Christ. John was there. He was there. He wrote John 6 telling us what happened when Christ was preaching that day, and many who claimed to be his disciples left Christ and walked with him no more. He saw that. And look what John writes here, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. When those went away that day, they manifest they weren't his true disciples. If they were, they'd have done what Peter and John and the other disciples did. Lord, to whom shall we go? Look, verse 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One. And ye know all things. Christ said, he said, if you're my disciples, you'll continue in my word, and you shall know the truth. You know all things. He's given you the unction. You know all things. I've not written to you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He's Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever not denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. That's what Christ's going to tell him later. You don't know the Father. You don't have the Father because you don't believe me. That's what he's going to tell him. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. Where'd John get that? He heard Christ say, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. That's what he's saying. Let that word abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. If that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. You see the order here? It's his word, his unction abiding in you is going to make you continue. And this is the promise that he's promised us. Eternal life. He said the truth will make you free. He's going to continue. He makes you free, and he's going to continue to keep you free. And in the end, he's going to make you enter into that glorious liberty, that glorious freedom of the sons of God. Eternal life in glory with him. You have it now, but you're going to enter into it. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. It's concerning men that would tell you there's something else besides Christ. Look to Christ. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. You shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That's the only way we're not going to be ashamed when Christ returns, is if we're in him. That tells us what we need. That's why Paul said, everything I've once counted dear, I count it loss. And it's no loss at all. It's just dung. That I might win Christ and be found in him, not having anything of myself, no righteousness of the law, nothing of myself to commend me. I trust that he's my righteousness. I trust he's my forgiveness, justification from my sin. And I trust that he is all. And he's going to keep us looking to him so that we're going to be found in him. That's what John's saying. This is how you're going to persevere. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. It's ready to be revealed. It's already ready. He made it ready for somebody. He made it ready for his people. So when he gives you faith, he's not going to let you fall away. He's going to bring you into it because he made it ready for you. He said, I'll make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts and they shall not depart from me. The world doesn't look upon believers as being anything or anybody, and often look upon us as in the trials and the hardships and things you go through and think, why on earth do they believe him? Why do they believe the Lord? And they think they have freedom. The worldly man thinks he has freedom. That's not freedom. There's freedom. Freedom is in the heart. Freedom is in the conscience. Knowing you're accepted of God and God receives you. That's freedom. That's the freedom that gives you power to walk. That's the freedom that gives you power to keep stayed on him. He said, I'm not going to turn from you to do you good. Everything he's doing for us in this life, as bad as it may appear to you and me, as bad as it may appear to this world, it's good. Everything. And he's not going to let you who are his depart from him. Now, let me say this, because this is important. A true believer can look like he's departing from the Lord. He can. Well, sooner or later, I'm going to preach on that text with David. David went down to the enemy a second time and stayed a year and a half with the enemy. Became the bodyguard of the king of Gath and was going to war against his own people. You wouldn't have looked at him and thought, that's a man after God's own heart. Well, what he was doing, that wasn't after God's own heart, but he was still the man after God's own heart. That really shows us this thing is not, it's not based on good or evil in us. It's based on his free grace, on Christ's righteousness, on what he's done and who he is to us, and he's going to keep his people. Now, this is what that should make us do. That should make us be gentle and try to speak the gospel to those that look like they're departing. Because law's not going to bring them back. You can whip them all you want to. You can throw things at them and throw the word at them and throw gospel precepts at them and just make them hurt in their conscience. That ain't bringing them back. That didn't bring you to Christ. I made this mistake in the early go. folks would come in, they would sit down, they would be complaining about this and that, and they'd go out and they wouldn't be here for a month. And when they'd come in, I'd preach about the importance of being under the sound of the gospel. You know what I should have been preaching on? Christ the gospel. Because they were there then. I should be preaching on Christ right then so they hear him while they're there. Because that's the only way he's going to give you a heart to want to sit and hear him, having all your confidence in him and rejoicing in him. But putting a guilt trip on people is not going to bring them to Christ. It's not. Letting them know how much you disapprove of what they're doing is not going to bring them to Christ. Christ is who brings us to Christ. Preaching him, declaring him, reminding each other of what he's done. You know, when you stand up and preach, you're preaching to folks who are sinners. And you may have people come in that you know are profane sinners. You preach the same Christ to them that you preach to everybody else. And so you may see somebody who looks like they're walking away from the gospel. Well, you know this, if they're his, he's not going to let them go. What's going to help them? Remind them of that. Remind them of what Christ has done, what he is doing, what he shall do. Speak of consolation. Speak of what he's taught you when you tried to do the same thing. Have you ever tried to leave him? What did he do for you when you tried to leave him? Well, if you've never tried to leave him and he's never done anything for you to keep you, you're unqualified to talk to that one who's going away because you don't know a thing about it. But if you're his, I just believe you probably know something about it. Because we commit sin every day. And every day he's keeping you coming to him. In some way, shape, form, every day you're experiencing this as a believer. And if there's ever been a big thing that brought you to see your inability and see that he was the only one that saved you from you, that's what to talk about to that person who's trying to walk away, about how he brought you back and what he did for you. Isn't that what the Lord said, told everybody he healed, everybody he saved? He said, go tell them what the Lord's done for you. The Lord will not cast off his people. He will not forsake his inheritance. We're his inheritance. He's not going to forsake that which is his prized possession. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Why? As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about his people from henceforth forever. You know, when David went down there and he was total unbelief, and he was down there in total unbelief, walking under the dominion of his flesh, is what he was doing. A child of God, born of God, born of the Spirit, who was overcome by his sinful flesh. You know, the whole time he was there, the Lord had him hedged about. There was not any remote possibility David was going to go into war against his own people. He was headed that way, but it wasn't going to happen. And the Lord tore his house down, brought him down to dust and ashes, literally. But he didn't let him go. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. By Christ we begin in faith. But Christ, we're going to continue in faith. He said, I promised the Father I'd raise them all up. I'm raising them all up. They're not going to, nobody's going to pluck them out of my hand. Look back at Hebrews 11. Let's end with this. Here's what all who are his true disciples. You get the point here. I'm just trying to be as simple as I can be. He said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. It's going to be proven that you were really made my disciples. You're not going to turn away. You're going to be beset often. You know, that path we're running, believers can slip and fall. He says they fall multiple times. But he says underneath of the everlasting arms. Beset means you try to turn out of the way. What's his chastening hand about? Keeping you partaking of his holiness. He's going to keep you there. You're not all going to run at the same pace. Some going to walk. Some going to be crawling. But he's going to keep all his people going toward him. That Mississippi River is always flowing to the ocean. But sometimes it's not flowing south. Sometimes it's flowing north and east and west. But it's always headed to the same mark. And he's going to keep you going to him, heading to him. But it's a long journey. He didn't just bring them into Canaan. He let them go all through that wilderness. And he's going to bring us all through this wilderness. But here's what all of them have in common that begin in faith. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith. And that's going to be true of everyone that he's called. You're going to die in faith. Those saints, it says, they didn't receive the promises. They saw them afar off. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. They confessed. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So he's going to confirm us to the end. He that begun a work in you, a good work in you, he's going to perform it to the end. And it's going to be said of all his people, these all died in faith. That's what he means. If he's made you his disciple, that will be the sure end. By him making you free and keeping you free and being the power, you're going to end in faith. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for this word. We ask you to bless it, keep us. Lord, we really need you constantly, every hour. We need thee every hour. Lord, keep us from straying. Keep our hearts on you. Keep our path straight. Make us walk toward you. Turn us from our besetting sins. Lord, we pray for our brethren who may appear to be going out of the way. We pray, Lord, you would keep them looking to you. Lord, we pray for those that are sick today and have bodily infirmities. We know some of you people just can't be here. That age gets us and infirmities get us, and help us remember that. Encourage them when we can speak with them and give them grace and power, Lord, by your mercy to come and hear when they can. But keep your people, Lord. We know you will. We thank you. Keep us looking to you. Forgive us, Lord, our sin. Help teach us how to be helpers. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.